forever. Dog.
Don't open that door. This week on the podcast, R.L. Stine's The Secret Bedroom.
Hello, welcome to Teen Creeps, the podcast that discusses YA pulp fiction. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Katai.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent.
And today we are discussing, I was going to say reading, but we already read it. We are discussing R.L. Stine's Secret Bedroom, a Fear Street novel.
Yeah, a Fear Street novel.
That's how I'm going to introduce all Fear Streets from now on. A Fear Street entry.
I liked this one.
I did too, because it stayed supernatural.
Yeah, and it was like, I was so scared.
He seldom does that. It was really spooky, and Catherine is very evil.
She's so evil.
And I was shocked that Marcy stayed dead.
I couldn't believe that, man. I can't believe
thoroughly he did away with Marcy.
Yeah, and like, there weren't too many fake outs either. Like, I guess they're, like, because it wasn't
the
like...
the only real fake out was like, and it wasn't even quite a fake out. It was like when, oh my God, what is the protagonist's name?
Good question. Asking the wrong person.
I didn't say her name that much because it's in her head. Oh my gosh.
Leah.
Thank you, Leah. No H. Mm-hmm. Leah and her best friend, Dina, go up to check on the attic and everything is still like boarded up. Mm-hmm. Or there's no blood. And I was like, that's not a reveal.
Yeah. When they gasp and it's no blood.
Yeah. A gasp for nothing to me is like borderline fake out. But certainly he has done worse.
Also, like, she could gasp, you know, it was like half fake out because it's like she could gasp because she believed it. And that was the other thing.
She was expecting blood.
And the fake outs wasn't like the I guess you could also argue that there's a fake out of like that all of it. That she's just been gaslit by this fucking ghost.
Mm-hmm.
But like, dude, I was like, it was actually like
that didn't feel like a cheat.
No, because she felt like she was crazy.
Yeah, that was an extra layer.
Yes.
More like. Mm-hmm.
Cause also like it was so interesting. I liked Leah too. Like, I thought she was like actually a character. She was mm-hmm. she was like kind of weird and spunky without anyone telling us that she was.
I will say, and I guess this is that whole dating dynamics were different.
Sure.
In the time of the author's youth.
Mm-hmm.
Marcy's not the villain for not wanting her boyfriend to date someone else.
Right. Because he's just dating. He's the villain.
Don is Marcy's boyfriend.
Yeah.
Don asks out Leah after Leah spills chili on her white cashmere sweater.
White cashmere.
And Marcy like runs away, horrified.
Yeah.
And then the whole rest of the book, it's like, ugh, she's got him on such a tight leash. It's like, it's her fucking boyfriend. I know. I'd also expect my boyfriend not to date other people, but I think this is that like 60s, 70s dynamic of like whether or not you're going steady.
Right.
Versus also, dating boys. Right. Like, you couldn't just have boys who were friends.
Right. Because it did have that dynamic of they're dating, but they're not BFGF, mm-hmm. you know, which people don't do anymore.
Yeah.
Or at least, I mean, maybe they do now, even. But they didn't in the 90s. But I liked too that like, Leah does do things that are that I would be like, girl, what are you doing? But at the same time, like she in her head is like, what am I doing? When she calls Marcy's house to be like, is Don there? I was like, Leah, stop.
Yeah, I know exactly. And Leah's going, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this?
She's like,
otherwise that would have been so unforgivable.
Yeah. But she's like, I need to know like where he is because like how could he have stood me up? And then
I know I'll call his girlfriend.
Like I was like, girl,
because the mom she calls for Dawn, and the mom says, like, oh, Dawn left for a date with Marcy an hour ago.
Yeah.
And Leah's response is to call Marcy and see what's going on.
Like, to see if he's like, there.
I guess I'll just call his girlfriend and see if
yes. he didn't. But while she's doing it, to her credit, to Leah's credit, while she's doing it, she's like, I can't believe I'm doing this. I am so embarrassed, but I just need to know, like, where she is.
Like, obsessing over Dawn.
Yes.
And it makes no sense.
Right. And I did like the hint that, like, something's off with Leah, because, like, people are like, oh, so you're, like, anxious a lot and you have, like, these, like, really crazy dreams. Like, did that happen at your old school? Or, like, it is clear that people are like, and she's like, I don't really remember. And you're like, Leah,
how do you not?
What's going on there?
What your dreams used to be like.
Yes.
You didn't suffer a trauma.
Have we read something?
Moving is stressful, but it's not forget what your dreams were like.
Yes.
Stressful.
I have a question. Have we read something with Dina in it before?
I wondered that too, because about the way it was talking about Dina's history.
Wait, Dina Johnson, right?
I think so.
She's the main character in the Fear Street trilogy.
No. Wait.
In the show.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So she, because this is what she says. Hold on, I'm going to see books. Which, if she's a character there. Because Dina, Dina Fear is the main villainess of The Dead Boyfriend. Dina Johnson is the main protagonist of the Netflix dark horror film Fear Street trilogy. Hold on. Dina and Jade learn the consequences of prank calls. What is this? Hold on. Dina. The wrong number.
I was about to say.
Okay. So, Dina, in this book, is like the new friend of Leah, and she's like the only one who's really been friends with her. And she's like, oh, why do you have to live on Fear Street? And,
oh, yeah, that's what
and
it was.
Leah's like, well, I don't know. I don't like living here either. And she's like, sorry. I just had like a really bad experience on Fear Street last year. And I'm like, what happened?
Yeah.
And but also, she's in, like, the wrong number.
Suki's mom is the realtor.
Suki Thomas's mom.
Yeah. Who sells them the house.
Yeah.
So I thought that was fun. It's a bummer that he doesn't keep that up.
I know. Well, I feel like this was one of the ones that he definitely wrote, because it was like head and shoulders.
He knew
better.
The lore.
Yeah, he knew the lore. He also, like, it's just.
He cared about the lore at this point, I guess.
Yes.
So this was written.
Let's see.
In 91, which is very early in
Very early. Because a lot of them are like 97.
His story,
yes.
Let's see. Which Fear Street number is this? See if I can find it.
Okay, because also the wrong number is Fear Street 5. Okay.
And there were a fair number, but
no, Fear Street number 5.
No, I'm sorry. There were a fair number of Fear Streets by the time Secret Bedroom was released, but I'm not.
Okay, 13.
There you go.
So I mean, it was shortly still early. After. That's so funny. So this one was I thought this one was very spooky.
There are actual consequences, which is always a pleasure to see.
Yes. And like, even just like when she's alone in the house and like in her bedroom and can hear somebody walking around upstairs, and she does this thing, which I feel like is very realistic, where she's like, oh, this is so scary. I'm just going to like cover my head with a pillow and hope it goes away, and then like goes to sleep. I feel like people would. I've done stuff like that where I've been like, I'm scared. And then just like stay in bed.
Yes. It was funny to me in the list of things Leah chooses not to do is like Leah goes up or thinks she does, goes up to the secret room in the attic connected to her bedroom. And is it connected to her bedroom?
No, it's just above it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Never mind. I was starting to get confused about the actual structure of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes up to the secret bedroom connected to the attic and encounters a full-on ghost, just a full-on little Victorian ringletted
teenager, Catherine,
has a whole conversation with her. Catherine, like, touches her hair, and Leah runs away terrified.
She, like, pulls it. She grabs it, and she's like, it's so beautiful. Mm-hmm.
It's really kind of, it's really a scary moment.
It's scary. I think this book is scary.
Yeah, genuinely scary. And she goes, I guess I won't bother my parents with this. And I was like, you won't, like, bother them with it?
Yeah. Well, because
like the phrasing, maybe it wasn't quite that, but it was something like that where it's like, oh gosh, this just doesn't seem like the right time. I was like, I don't know, man, a ghost touched your hair. I might need to talk to somebody about this. I know that you'll sound crazy, but
yeah, it's that they think she's crazy. They already thought she was crazy. So she kind of like let it go.
I guess I don't really know what I would do in that situation.
I would tell a friend at least, which she does. Mm-hmm. And then
parents are generally very dismissive, more so than friends.
Yes.
I aspire not to be that parent.
Yeah.
If my daughter comes to me and says that there is a ghost in the attic, I'm going to default to like checking it out further.
Yeah, something's up there. Maybe not a ghost, but something. Mm-hmm. Let me read the back of the book. And like, can we talk about just kind of the flashback to when they move in? Because I thought that was scary.
Yeah.
Okay. Leah Carson can't believe it when her family moves into the creepy old house on Fear Street. Most creepy of all is the secret room up in the attic. The room has been locked and boarded up for at least 100 years. A murder was committed in that room, the story goes, and it has been closed up ever since. Leah knows she should stay away, but she thinks she hears footsteps inside the secret room and voices. Someone or something is waiting for Leah in there. Should she open the door? Can she resist?
She can't. She can. Also, she doesn't open the door.
She does and doesn't tricked. And then does. Yeah. So when she like remembers back to them touring the house and she's like, oh my God, I just hate move. We move all the time. I hate it because like, and that was the other thing. Like there were just a lot of details like with this person and like her life and whatever that felt real where she's like, my dad's really into fixing things up. And like it kind of sucks actually, because by the time it's actually nice, we move again. So I don't get to enjoy anything nice. And I just keep moving. And by the time I feel safe and comfortable in a new place, we move again. And I just don't feel at home anywhere. So they're looking at this house. She thinks it sucks because it's like super fucking creepy on Fear Street. And Suki Thomas's mom is the real estate agent. And she's like showing them around. And she's like, and then this over here, blah, blah, blah. And then I actually thought she was funny with when her mom's like, ooh, an attic. I loved looking around at treasures in the attic. And Leah's like, what are you talking about? And then she goes up there and it's like hot as shit, super dark, not very tall. And she goes and it's empty. And she goes up there and her mom's like, can you please have a better attitude? So when she's up there, she's like, wow, mom, I can't wait to look at all the treasures up here. The
treasures.
The treasures thing was so funny. But Suki Thomas's mom comes upstairs and is like, so yeah, this is the attic. And she and Leah's like, what is this fucking room? This like boarded up wall, door. Like, what is that? And she's like,
It's very barbarian.
Very barbarian. Very barbarian. And Suki Thomas's mom is like, oh, you know how people like
call
make
her by
up
her name, Kelly. Mrs. Thomas.
I'm sorry. Mrs. Thomas. Mrs. Thomas is like, you know what? People make up stories and every house on Fear Street has a story.
Yeah,
the way she
leads into that, she's like, you can just hear the gears turning in her head of like, look, I'm not required to divulge rumors.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And she's like, all houses on Fear Street have rumors.
Have tales.
Okay. And like, if I were to say that there's a rumor about this room, I'd say there was a murder here. But you know what? It was hundreds of years ago. The room hasn't been opened since then. But
and
you know,
like,
it's
if
just
you
a
believed
rumor.
Everything about a Fear Street house, well, I mean,
And she's like, anywho, I'm going to go back downstairs. And so the whole family goes back downstairs. And then Leah's like drawn to this room. She's like, I can hear something, like, is someone back there? Like, And she's like staring at it. And then she feels really spooked and decides to go back downstairs. And that I was like, oh, that is so spooky. Like a weird boarded up room in your attic that like someone supposedly got murdered in that hasn't been open since then. Like, what are we doing here, people?
Mm-hmm. It's creepy. Genuinely mm-hmm. creepy.
Mm-hmm. So then she goes downstairs and she goes back to living her life. But then she's like thinking about this room. She keeps going up there.
I mean,
she keeps,
I would think of nothing else.
Me neither. Or me too. I don't know which to say.
They both work depending.
Yes. She's like, she hears a voice back there and the voice is like, she's like holding it and like blood comes down and she's like, what the fuck? And then
it's very The Shining.
Yes. And then she calls over Dina. Dina comes over. Dina's like, I am going to tell you something. I do not see any blood. So maybe it was a dream. You dreamed it. And that's when she's like, you know, you've been stressed, right? And like, maybe you had dreams before because like moving a lot, that's hard. Like she is trying to find a way to like explain away her friend being like, I saw a river of blood. And so is Leah, to be honest. She's like, I washed it. I didn't wash it off. Or wait, maybe I did. All very difficult, you know?
Sorry, I'm just laughing at that phrasing. It's very difficult. It's a odd position to be put in. All that blood coming down.
It's hard. The spikes, I was like, what the fuck?
The spikes were really an interesting touch because it's like, is it booby trapped? And it's like, I guess it's booby trapped through the power of Catherine's mind.
Yes, because Catherine has a lot of psychic energy.
Catherine is very psychically strong.
Very. And you know, it helps that
Leah is psychically weak.
Yes. She's been wearing Leah down. Well, Leah came in psychically weak because she felt tired. Yeah.
I will say, in Leah's defense, mm-hmm. I get her family moves all the time. They're house flippers.
Yeah.
In addition to their other things.
Tiring.
Friends. Yeah.
And you're in high school.
That actually is kind of traumatic for a child.
Over and over again, constantly moving.
Since she was a child, like never being able to make permanent friends, that would be traumatic.
Yeah.
I take back my making fun of her.
I mean, I still make fun of her in that, like...
Oh, for other things.
In a loving way, you know? Because it's like the calling...
But that's why she's so shy and so neurotic.
Yes.
And maybe I'll be generous and say that that's why she doesn't understand. She should not...
Call Marcy?
Calling... Like, A, she should not be... dating Dawn. It's too messy.
No!
It's too messy. The situation is messy. I don't care if he asked you out. I don't care if he secretly wants away from Marcy. That's his... He needs to deal with that.
He needs to figure out how to break up with his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the other thing. When he invites her to the pizza parlor and goes with Marcy...
That scene was wild.
I was like, Dawn, this is bad. Like,
why are you still trying to date her without breaking up with Marcy? And Leah, why are you still trying to date him when you know that they are not broken up?
Yeah. And honestly,
he wasn't even a prior crush. She had never encountered this person before.
She didn't even think he was that cute.
Yeah, he was like cute, but like ish. She wasn't like immediately in love even.
No. But you know what though, Lindsay?
Yeah.
Let's put ourselves in this situation.
Okay.
Any boy paying me any attention in high school?
This is the problem, is I keep judging these characters based on me now.
I know, but I would be sprung for anyone even looking at me.
It's true. You're right.
I would have called Marcy.
I would have shown up at Marcy's house.
I would not have called Marcy, but I would have spied on Marcy's house for sure.
Driven by to see if Dawn's car seemed to be there, maybe.
Yes. And like, if I heard that they, you know, I would have gone to that pizza parlor, which is so sad.
I would have too.
Even after all that, after all the bullying.
I kept seeing the gross guy in college, even after I found out that he was the guy who broke a casual friend's heart.
Yeah.
I didn't know it on our first date.
Mm-hmm.
But I did find out after, and then I kept seeing him, even though I knew mm-hmm. it was probably trouble.
And honestly, even this, right, where it's like Dawn keeps asking her out, and like every time Marcy like laughs in her face and shit, and people are like laughing at her at school, but Dawn is still like secretly like, oh, like we should hang out. I would be like, okay, like, and someone's showing me attention.
Yeah. And I even feel for Marcy's cruelty, because like here she is with somebody who's supposedly her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And this new girl shows up at your date, mm-hmm. at what you think is your date.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is Dawn's doing.
Yeah. I mean, I think we can look back at this and, you know, as adults be like, okay, she's mad at the wrong person. But like when you're in high school, you're gonna like, you don't look at the person who's manipulating you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You yeah. look at the...
Because that's like, who the crush is on.
Because also when they're one-on-one, I'm sure he's like, I love you. I want to be with you, blah, 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 whatever, whatever.
He, like, you can tell that he wants to break up with Marcy, but he's not doing it. And so it doesn't matter. It.
And like, I'm not here to save you from your relationship. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. You're going to do whatever you do. And if you want to be with me, then you need to be with me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Better make that choice.
Yep.
You can't have it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot have your cake and eat it too.
Mm-hmm.
So Dawn yep. is the real villain, not even Catherine.
And then that's why when Catherine was like, Dawn needs to be punished, I was like, yeah.
Dawn, you killed Marcy.
You killed Marcy.
You went to her house and pushed her off a balcony off the like second story over the banister in her own home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let's talk. So what we find out is that Leah goes up to check out the room. She thinks Blord pours down.
Blord sounds like the name of a because when you said you just said she's or something, I didn't know you were talking about blood, so I thought you meant a character.
So Blord,
like, I'm Blord.
Do you know Blord?
And they're like, wow.
So I think Blord the real MVP Blord is the character.
Blord doesn't have any books written about her. She's just like always happens to be on Fear Street.
She's interconnected. She's just like, she touches on every story.
Right. Mm-hmm. And she does get injured, but like not from the threat. It's that she like twists her ankle in a gopher hole or something, or like,
yeah, yeah.
Like slams her finger in a door and is like, oh, ow. And like requires medical that's attention.
Sounds when she cries.
And she's like, you're gonna take me to urgent care again. And everyone's like, Blord, like this is the sixth time you've been this month.
Blord.
And everyone's like, Blord, like maybe you just calm down for like a week. She's like, I gotta get out to the parties. People are gonna notice Blord isn't there.
Everyone will be asking themselves, where's Blord?
And she just like really unfortunate accidents happened to her. Mm-hmm. Again, so
she's
unrelated,
she's never actually in a scene.
No,
but she's on the periphery,
right? Though like the character will be like, oh, there's like a crowd of kids like seeing something happen, and then like they get distracted because like the main character walks by and then they pay attention to the main character. Mm-hmm. But the person that they were looking at is like Blord, who like bonked her head on an upper locker and like got knocked out. Cause she didn't know it was open.
Classic Blord.
Yeah. And like in hitting her head, she like aspirated her own spit and got walking pneumonia.
And that's in fact why she's not at the party.
Right, so yeah, she's not the party because of her walking
pneumonia.
It's not
because she hit her head. It's because she aspirated on her own spit. And got pneumonia from that somehow.
Right.
So and like, no one at the hospital could explain why that led to pneumonia, because it was,
right,
in fact, her own spit in her mouth.
Right, right, right.
Well, actually what's confusing is she ran into a locker.
Right.
And she aspirated on someone else's spit, but no one was within 6 feet of her.
Right. Well, because someone else down the hall, like, coughed.
Yeah, they, like, sneezed at that moment.
At the exact moment. But they like, coughed and tripped on Blord, like, dropped her, when she hit her head. On the locker.
Blord accidentally dropped a used tampon on the ground when she was like, she went to the bathroom.
There wasn't like, well, you know, you can't flush these because we're on septic.
You can't. And there wasn't a trash can in the stall.
Right. And so she was like, maybe I'll just hold it. She like
put it in her pocket with the intent to throw it away, like just before she washed her hands, but she forgot.
Right.
And so she washed her hands and she walked out and then she like, she pre-tripped. And it mm-hmm. fell out of her pocket.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right. And it fell out of her pocket. And then that, like, rolled. That's actually not what the person stepped on, though. Like, that rolled. And then, like, someone that was, like, carrying a big tray of marbles, like, they, like, jumped out of the way. And the marbles flew out. But that's not what they stepped on, either.
It was for a project, but, like, they can't explain what
right.
the project was. Well,
it's for science.
Yeah, it class. Was a it, something to do with space.
Yeah, right. It's about space and gravity and stuff. Like you wouldn't get it.
It was convoluted.
So they drop all the marbles, and like the marbles went over. Like they rolled and like bounced, and then like hit the fire alarm thing, and then all the water came down, and the water
it pooled,
and the person slipped on that. While they sneezed. And the sneeze. Mm-hmm. This is like the lone gunman theory. Like, or like the trajectory of like the sneeze. Oh, this is like that Seinfeld thing where they're doing the spit yes. thing. But
which is itself based off of, I think, JFK.
JFK assassination.
Movie, JFK.
But this, so the spit Alder then Stone, went... into her mouth, and then she aspirated it, and that's how she got walking pneumonia, and that's why she can't come to the party.
Yeah. And it's always something like that with Blord.
It's always something like that with Blord. And honestly, when she doesn't, she's not able to go to the party, it's like actually a good thing because like everybody died at that party or whatever.
Yeah. It's like, what was that insane book with the like not vampire, but maybe vampire? It was kind of a recent one.
Yes. It was where the person...
Everybody goes to a party.
Yes. And the guy wears the fangs.
Yeah.
And then...
Who was...
She gets to turn back time, right?
Yeah. And then that wasn't Stein, though, because that was too wild for...
No, it was Stein. Too much supernatural Lindsay, stuff. I think.
Oh. Mm. Yeah. Because they were in a Fear Street mansion. Or yeah. they were in a Fear mansion. A Fear family yeah. mansion. It was Stein. Yeah. Okay. So she... was supposed to be at that party.
She was supposed to be at the party where everybody yes, died.
It was senior year. It was the first book in the seniors series. The
Fear Street Seniors. Right. That's right. We have to keep doing those to see who else dies.
I guess. We looked up to see who else died, and there's a Reddit off of.
Oh yeah, that's right. But I don't remember website. That.
I don't. I barely remembered what book that was.
I know.
I'm amazed. I did.
Me too. But yeah. So. Anyway, Blord.
But like, yeah, you just don't like if Blord's like, oh, I couldn't make it. People have stopped asking her why because it's always some story like that.
Well, also,
and they don't have the time.
Someone will be like, oh, did you hear Blord says she can't make it? And everyone's like, who? Who? And like that girl from our class.
Who can never make it.
And then someone will be like, wait, what are you talking about? And they'll be like, oh, the one who got heat stroke at like,
in the Arctic.
Yeah, when we were in the penguin exhibit at SeaWorld.
She got heat stroke
because
it was so cold. Because she bundled up so much.
She was afraid she was going to get cold. So she was like doing a lot of like push-ups and like wearing a lot of jackets. And then that gave her heat stroke. And everyone's like, oh, right. I remember Blord.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Blord's not in this book because she had.
Reasons.
Huh?
Because reasons.
Yeah, she had some ailment. She mm-hmm. had like yeast infection in her elbows or something.
Like, in the folds.
Yeah, in the folds of her elbows and knees.
Yeah. Because she was trying to, instead of showering, she was only dry brushing.
Right.
But she didn't think about folds.
She didn't think about folds.
She didn't pay enough attention to folds.
But that's something that she would do. So that's why she's not in this book.
Yeah.
She was in like outpatient treatment for, I'm sorry, inpatient treatment.
Yes.
For her elbow and for knee elbow yeast infections. Elbow yeast. So, Leah. She basically keeps being drawn to this room, even though there's like spikes and blood. And she's like, I'm going to get in here. And she opens it and it's like a beautiful Victorian room. And there's this girl in there. She's got beautiful ringlets of hair and she can make her hair really bright and she can disappear. She has ghost powers.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. And Leah's like, this is weird. I'm scared. And she's like, wait, let me like touch your hair. And she's like, and she pulls her hair really hard. Another part that I was actually scared was when she like runs away from the attic and then she gets downstairs and she's like, shit, I don't remember if I left that door open. Cause like that to me is really scary of like being like, shit, like, is it open? Mm-hmm. Like, is she out? Did I let her out? Because in her experience, Catherine, the ghost, cannot leave the room if the room is closed and locked. And she can't remember if she locked the door. So she has to go back up to check. And she did. She's like, okay, phew. And then she really hates Marcy. And she's like, I want to scare Marcy and make her think that I have magic powers. So I'm going to let Catherine out. And we're going to go do psychic things at her. And just scare her. Do
psychic things at her.
Mm-hmm. But that's not what they do. They murder her. Yeah. Well, I guess Catherine instead, does.
Yeah. Well, because she possessed Leah's body to get in the house, but now she's just like free floating around.
Right. And that was the other thing is like, I feel like Catherine is so good at tricking Leah into trusting her because
She tricked me.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure what Catherine's story was.
Me neither. I was like, I guess maybe she is innocent because she's like, I've been trapped up here my whole life. My parents are evil. They locked me up forever and ever. And I've just been waiting to get out. I've never experienced the world. I just want to experience it. And she's like, can you let me out? And Leah's like, yeah, let's go scare Marcy. And then she goes into Leah's body and Leah's like, oh, shit, I'm scared. And she's like, oh, it's okay. I just want to like experience the world. This is so great. And then she gets out of her when they arrive at Marcy's house. And she's like, oh, I guess I can trust her because like she was just in me for a little bit. So it's not, you know, it's probably fine. But no, she tricked her. Because, that's the other thing. So they get there. They scare Marcy. And then the ghost pushes Marcy off of a, what's it called?
Like over a banister.
Yeah.
There's like her house, there's like a level just at the stairs that overlooks down below.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then no more. And I kept waiting for the fake out.
No, she's
I kept waiting for it dead, not to dead, be real. Dead. She is dead, dead, dead.
Yeah.
And you know what? Not fair because that bitch was trying to date her boyfriend.
I know.
Once again, I side with Marcy.
Here's where I didn't side with Marcy.
Mm-hmm.
When she tricks her about the sorority thing, I thought that was mean.
That was mean. And it was also smart of Leah to realize there wasn't a fourth floor.
Yep. Because she's like, I really feel bad and I want to invite you to this sorority meeting. And Leah's like, I didn't know they did sororities here. And she's like, yeah, actually we do. And like, I want to invite you. And she's like, okay. And she's like, at room 403 tonight or whatever. And she's like, wait a second. Our school only has three floors. There is no room 403. And Marcy's like, ah, ha, 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 you idiot. Of course I would invite you to a thing, you freak. I was like, that's mean.
It's very mean.
Yeah.
And for a second, Marcy had me.
Yeah.
So I think she would have gotten me. And I would have
believed her too, because I was like, maybe.
Because I don't know.
Because I don't know these people.
Because I'm new.
Because I'm new. And I don't have a lot of experience with people in general.
Mm-hmm.
Let alone psychos at Shadyside High, and her only friend is Dina. And I feel like Dina is doing her best to like tell her, because Dina's like, stay away from Dawn and Marcy, and she's like, okay. And then Dawn's like, do you want to go to the pizza parlor? And she's like, yes.
And as again, you're right. I would have absolutely gone.
Yes, I would have gone because he was nice to her and cute ish.
Mm-hmm. And because he did actually want to date her.
I know.
And so he's being confusing.
But you can't. You can't put that on her, though. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm.
Work out your shit first.
Yes. So then Catherine, like, takes over. Have we talked about this book before? I'm all of a sudden getting, like, such crazy deja vu.
That's so weird that you say that, because for the whole first part of the book, I was like, have we read this?
I tried Googling the secret bedroom teen creeps and nothing came up.
Yeah, and after a certain point, it stopped feeling familiar to me, but it was reminding me, I think, of maybe the 99 Fear Street series.
Oh, yeah. Maybe. I don't recall those very well because I was actually having a heat stroke while we were recording that.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
Remember? That. It was like 94 degrees inside the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Back when
Forever Dog was.
It's
one, so. One, we were still recording at Forever Dog Studios.
Yes.
And two, it was downtown.
Right.
In that crazy, weird building.
Yeah. Scary basement building.
Scary basement building.
Also,
we no longer have access to and can't run our promotion of if we get $8 a month subscribers.
That's right.
We'll go in the basement.
That's right. That's right. This is the other thing. I feel like back then it was like, we'll do anything to have like crystal clear sound. But like, you can so easily take out the sound of an AC. Like, looking back on that, I'm like, dude, I run my AC all the time when we're recording because I'm like, I am not going to die for our show.
That is true.
Yeah. I've always, or it's like when like poor streamers are like, guys, is it okay if I like turn on my AC? I'm like, dude, turn on your fucking AC. You have a really hot computer during a heat wave and like you're not going to use your AC because you're afraid it'll have a buzzing in the background. People can ignore a buzzing. Come on.
Priorities.
Yeah. But so Catherine is like, she's like, I am loving life and living it, which is not
living
something
and
I'm
loving.
Yeah. And then she, Leah goes back home and she sees Catherine, and Catherine's like, well, I did you a favor. And all of a sudden she looks old and it's like, ew, icky, scary. She doesn't look like a little angel child anymore. And she's like, I helped you. So now we have to make a trade. You have to let me take your body. And she's like, what? Also,
that was the deal that you didn't know you were entering into.
That reminds me of, have you seen I Think You Should Leave?
I haven't watched every single episode, but I've seen quite a bit of it.
The you have to give thing where it's like if you use. So like he makes that, I think it's Adam Scott.
Is it season one?
No, it's season two.
Because I haven't watched all of season one. Oh, okay. I have seen all of season two.
It's the one where the guy has the pee drop on his pants. And then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then he like makes him use the website to say like, oh, it's like these pants, like it's not a pee stain. And then he's like, I don't think it's Adam Scott. Who is it?
No, it's not. I forget who it is, though.
It's. Here you have to give, what is it? Pee pants. It's calico cut pants, right?
That sounds
yeah.
Right.
Calico cut pants is it's Mike Mike
Birbiglia?
O'Brien.
Oh, okay.
Right. And so he's like you have to give because like if you use it. Then you have to give. That's when he says, you wore that dress yesterday off camera to some fucking random lady. But anyway, it's making me think of that where she's like, well, I helped you. So now you have to let me take your body.
Yes. It's like this thing that you absolutely did not agree to.
Right. And then so Leah's like, no. And she's like, I'm going to take over you then. And she does. And at first she can fight her off, and then she's not able to fight her off as well because she gets a horrible fever. And she's had a fever for 106 for days. And then they're like, you need to rest. And then
I was so confused about the fever. I guess it was like a way to make us think that like, oh, actually
she's fever dreaming.
It was all fake.
Yeah.
Well, and I like that the moment when the mom was like, sweetheart, you had a fever and you were dreaming. And there's this phenomenon called fever dream.
That was so funny. And she's at first, she's like, was it a dream? And she's like, no, it was a fever dream. And she's like, was it a fever dream?
A dream of a fever. A fever dream.
A fever dream. And so then she has to rest in the house. But guess what? Catherine's taking over her fucking body because now she's too weak. Can't fight back. And Catherine's like, surprise, bitch. My bedroom is this room. You were fucking hallucinating, you idiot, when you were up there because I knew that you were attracted to that room and I wanted to scare you away. And she's like, oh my God, the blood and the spikes. She's like, yeah, bitch, I made you think all that was real. And I made you think you went in there. But guess what? You never fucking went in there. This is my room. Your room that you're in now.
Like, why?
I know. I guess to be the fake out of like that room. Because then it's like that's, I did like that. So she's like, that room is evil, the room upstairs. And I wanted to make you stay away from it. She's like, now I have your body. Now I would love an answer for where the fuck she goes when she leaves her body every once in a while.
In the ether.
I guess.
She's just like out.
She's like errands.
She's like, maybe she only has like enough psychic power to stay for certain lengths of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then she like loses it and she needs to rest.
Right. Right.
That's what I'll say it is.
And I actually thought that this part was really suspenseful and cool. So she's like, oh my God, she's out again. She's not in me. I need to figure this shit out. I need to, what's her weakness? That room. She says it's evil. I'm going to open that room. And so she remembers the hallucination. And she's like, right, I used a hammer. I have to go find a hammer. And she's like, shit, is she back? Is she back?
Oh,
That was
pretty clever.
She was clever. But she's like, I have to work quickly. And then so she like, breaks it down, opens it. There's two fucking skeleton people in there or corpses that That's are, scary. Guess what? Sentient.
Parents.
And they're her parents.
And she killed them. I would have appreciated knowing how she killed them.
I think she locked them in there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Creepy.
She locked them in there and then they just died, probably of thirst or something.
Time windows.
Mm.
So Catherine was an evil child.
Yeah, she was evil. Because they were like, you're a liar.
Everybody in Catherine's life thought happened. And then like, how did Catherine die then?
Yeah. Because she, did she die as an old
woman? She killed her parents. Yeah. Like, did she live to a ripe old age?
I think she did because guess what? When she shows her true form, she's an old woman. And she's already demonstrated to us that she can change her form. Because she was like, I can look like anything. I
got confused at that part.
Yeah.
I thought she just looked older.
No, she was like, she looked like an old woman.
Oh.
So I think she lived did. There.
She, yeah. And then she just like, oh, creepy.
Yeah.
Catherine's evil.
Yeah. So I think she just That's like, good. Like psycho style, lived in the house thing. With the dead parents in their whole life.
That's weird.
Yeah. Cool.
And
though.
Then her ghost just stuck around until she could inhabit somebody else. Rude.
I know. And I think she had the perfect storm of someone who was already psychically weak from having traveled too much, move.
Mm-hmm.
And like was drawn to the thing. Like, I think it's just she needed the perfect person to take over. And she got that with Leah.
Yeah.
I thought this book was good. I was actually quite shocked at how good it was.
It was a good Fear Street entry.
Yeah. I was proud of RL for this one. I was like, oh, you actually cared.
Of Robert.
Mm-hmm.
Robert L. Stein.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Lawrence.
Robert Lobert.
Robert Lobert.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about
Robert Lobert Stein. But yeah, that's, I mean, I say read this one. It's a very fast read. It's fun. It's scary. Mm-hmm. I like the characters. And also there's like fun lore in there.
Yeah, and recurring Fear Street characters such mm-hmm. as Blord.
Like Blord, which I guess, you know what? It's going to be that thing where now that you know about Blord, you won't not see her. You know, it's like the confirmation
bias.
Yeah,
she's really going to stick. What is that called? Like,
it's something Badoff, something. Yeah. Meyer-Badoff thing?
Badoff.
Hold on. Thing where you start seeing things.
Meisner?
After you notice them.
Bader Meinhof.
Bader Meinhof.
Bader Meinhof. Mm-hmm. Really not far off.
Really not far off. Cognitive bias, where people also see a particular thing.
Also known as frequency illusion.
Yes, frequency illusion.
According to Wikipedia, anyway.
Do you want to hear what I Googled?
What'd you Google?
Thing where you start seeing things after you notice them. Which I actually meant to flip that. You notice them after you know about them. But yeah, I would say read this one. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. We really appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
And a very special thank you to our Patreon listeners, patreon.com/teencreeps. It's a great way to support us and get a lot of really cool stuff. We have a lot of stuff on there for you guys. A lot.
Such as ad-free versions of the main feed.
Of every single episode. And then also mini-sodes, outside genre episodes, stickers. And then for our Patreon producers who give it the $15 a month level, we give you a personalized shout-out. So thank you, Aaron Fernandez.
Adam Howitz.
Amanda Kay.
Amanda Nangle.
Amy T.
Caitlin L.
Carrie Ham,
Charlie Burns,
Christina Descaro,
Courtney McPhail,
Danielle Lamana,
Danny B,
Drew Ronis,
Ellie Lagos,
Elisa R,
Emma
M,
Aaron B,
Gabriela Santiago,
Gabrielle T,
Gianna Fernandez,
Gwendolyn Ludovic,
Hannah L,
Jason H,
Jeremy Kronk,
Jeremy Goodfellow and Marco Pavlicic,
Jesse T,
Jessica U,
Jonathan Venable,
Karen Lewis,
Kat Miller,
Katie Olsner,
Keith Anderson,
Kelly Burns,
Carrie N,
Coy,
Landry Desmond,
Larry Nguyen,
Laura Hooper,
Megan Lozier,
Melody,
Micah Yunus,
Miguel Camacho,
Miranda Hester,
Molly G,
Molly Marks,
Noah Spargo,
Rachel Bassert,
Rashad B,
Randy Klett,
Rebecca Goss,
Rogue Kalahua,
Robert F,
Sarah Wallen,
Sasha Gibson,
Shannon P,
Sylvie T,
Victoria Beck,
and Victoria Gray. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. We will see you next week. When we're not telling you what we're reading. We appreciate you all. Keep it creepy.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Dog. Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, Dog. And Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit Dog. ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.